This is Katie Hunter from MA UK. I'm here with Franz Malambo. Hi, Franz.
How are you, Kate?
I'm really good, thank you. And I'm super excited that this fight has been added to the Bellator Dublin card. I was literally reading it at work, reading my social media at work, and literally squealed out loud. I was so excited.
Pretty sweet. No, it is a good one. I was elated as well when I heard about it. And it's going to be a good one. I'm looking forward to it.
So you're fighting Ricky Vandeyas.
Yeah.
A bit of revenge in it for you as well, for James Gallagher.
That's just what people are seeing it as. You know what I mean? But like I said, like my last opponent had fought and beat one of my guys as well. I never see it as revenge. You know what I mean? We're all our own people here. We're all our own. You know what I mean? Fighters. Yeah. So it's just another opponent for me. It's an exciting opponent at that. But it's nothing to do with that. Not to me, anyways. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you mentioned your last fight. Your last two victories, super impressive against two really tough guys. Dominic Woodin is an amazing fighter. I've watched him for years. And Nathan Grayson, again, a very exciting and violent fighter. You must be delighted with those performances, although I saw a little post where you said you weren't thoroughly happy with your last performance.
Yeah, that's it. I wasn't, but my girlfriend always says, like, she expects me not to be. But I feel like sometimes I am, but this time I wasn't, you know what I mean? But then I actually went back and I seen Dominic's fights, and I was like, okay, I need to review the whole way I'm looking at these things, because this guy was awesome. You know what I mean? I watched all his highlights and stuff. Actually, not too long ago. And I was like, this guy is very good. Like, you know what I'm saying? So after going back and watching his fights, I was a bit more accepting of how that fight went.
So you watched footage of him after your fight?
I don't ever research none of my opponents or anything before. I'd like to actually mostly not know anything about them. So this time, I said, actually, I might check this guy out, because I heard a lot about him before the fight. So he's my first opponent that I've actually went back and researched after the fight. And I think I might start doing that from now on, actually, because that was enjoyable doing that.
So is that like a mental strategy, so that you're only focused on how you're going to fight rather than thinking what they're about to do?
Yeah, I think it must be, like, because... Like, I started off in boxing, had a load of fights in boxing, went into MMA. And then I like routine, you know what I'm saying? And I had never researched my fighters, even from boxing or whatever. And then I was just like, well, I'm not going to start now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And now that I'm doing it so long, and sometimes I actually feel like the more information I know about my opponent, it kind of works against me sometimes.
Right.
In the fight, you know what I mean? It's in my head or something too much, but I just like going in fresh. Like, I feel like I perform best that way.
But what about your coaches? Do they look at footage of
of course.
And they come up with the game plan?
100%. Well, it's not just my corner man and everything. They'll always check the guy out, and they'll always know what their strengths and whatnot are. They give me, you know what I mean, minimal information is what I need. And that's what they do, like for example. But it doesn't always work out the way they say. Because, for example, fighting Grayson, right? They told me this guy is gonna rush in, throws a load of kicks, and I think he threw one kick, and he was super chill, never rushed in once. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So all the bit of information I got was it didn't manifest in the fight. So you know what I mean? Sometimes what you think you're going to expect, it isn't really what you see in a fight, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's true. That is really interesting, though. I don't know, I've never spoken to someone who hasn't done any research on their opponent at all. That's quite cool.
All right. There you go.
And what's fight camp like at the moment? Because you must have some of the team over in Vegas. Like, how's that different? Because I was talking to Liam McCourt last week, and obviously Owen Roddy is over in Vegas at the moment, so she's been training at Next Gen in Liverpool.
Yeah. No, just we still have a load of fighters like training, and like we still have Dave Roach coaching us and stuff like that. So we're in good hands. Like we're not really missing like the guys that's over there. Obviously they're taking care of business, you know what I mean? But we can still rock on without them while they're doing their thing over there, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And obviously, big fight for your team at the weekend. What's your prediction for that?
100%. Like, I don't think Cerrone has a chance in this fight, to be honest. You know what I mean? I've said this before and being super wrong, but the way I see it, like, Conor's only coming in back into his strength. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
I kind of feel like Cerrone is not in his prime. If you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, me, like, I'm a big fan of Cerrone. I've always been, like, I followed him throughout his whole career. I feel like he's definitely going to be a Hall of Famer. Like, he's one of my favorite fighters. But I don't see this fight going his way, any type of way I look at it. You know what I mean? But, like, then again, it is MMA, and crazy things have happened. You know what I'm saying? Like, I never thought that Diaz would have beat Conor. And look what happened there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you never know. Our sport is a crazy sport. So I'm definitely going to be tuning into that fight. It's going to be awesome.
I agree with everything you said about the fight there. And just on top of that, I feel like he matches up really well for Conor in terms of he doesn't like southpaws. He doesn't like forward pressure. I just think
he's
really nervous before fights. And this is going to be like... You know, anybody fighting Conor, it's going to be the biggest fight of their life. So, quick finish for Conor, I think.
I think that's what it's looking like on a analysis. But like I said again, it is MMA. We're still it's still a worthy fight to tune into. So
And Cerrone's a legend of the sport for a reason.
Exactly what I'm saying. Yeah, like he's so experienced that it wouldn't be unknown for him to pull something out of the bag, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
But I don't see it still. I don't see it. You know what I mean?
Well, let's move back to you. I want to hear about what it's like to be a vegan athlete.
All right, yeah. I actually,
how long have you been a vegan?
I started in a while. Said it again.
How long have you been a vegan?
About five, six years now, right? So I say vegan because, like, you know what I mean? When you meet people, that's the quickest, easiest thing to say. But if you want to be technical about it, I'm not actually a vegan because, like,
you're
I eat
cheating eggs, vegan.
That's it. I'm a cheating vegan. Because I'm partial to a cake, you see. You know what I mean? I don't drink milk, use milk in any way, eggs, none of that. Obviously, not me. But I like eating cakes. Like, I have a sweet tooth and stuff like that, and cakes are usually my go-to. But at the same time, how many times would you eat a cake? You know what I mean? I don't even really remember the last time I ate a cake, because it's so far in between, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But strictly speaking, vegan is the easiest thing to say instead of explaining that I like cakes all the time, you know what I'm saying? But when I started this whole thing anyway, it worked out great for me. You know what I'm saying? You hear it from people that sometimes when people switch, they go through like a detox thing and they don't feel great. I had a few guys do it. Kiefer Crosby convinced him to do it for a little bit, and he came back to me a bit after about 3 months. He's like, bro, I can't do this. He's like, I'm super drained and stuff. And I've heard that from a few people. But when I did it, like, I had a guy from church who had researched a lot of these things. So he just gave me a lot of information. And I used to go to Bible study every Sunday with him. And he used to make the food and stuff like that on that day. So I had a lot of experience going into it. And I think that's what you need. Like, you need to know what kind of food to eat and stuff like that. So if you have somebody to guide you along, going vegan, going plant-based is definitely the best way to go, because it changed me for the better in any ways, like, as in, like, I feel better, I recover quicker and stuff like that. So, I definitely promote it.
So was it purely for health reasons and like?
Yeah, when I did it, it was purely for health reasons. Like, because you hear when people are vegan, they're like, "Oh, I'm wearing a leather belt. I'm sorry. I'm like, I don't care. Wear a leather belt because it's only for health benefits. I'm a vegan. You know what I mean? I'm not super. I don't know what you call it. I'm not super vegan anyway.
Yeah.
It's not my religion or anything. I just,
yeah.
You know what I mean? I like to be healthy.
Tell me, like, kind of what a typical day food wise would be for you in camp.
All right. So, yeah, usually, right? This is a breakfast I have, but it's a super one, right? It's going to take some time now giving you the recipe. You ready? So it has millet in it, quinoa, and when I use quinoa, I usually like to use maybe three different types because you got the black ones, the normal ones, you know what I mean? You got different types of quinoa. They're in there. And then I have oats in there as well. And then so you boil them. And then so I have a jar of seeds, and it has sesame seed, sunflower seed, what else? Flax seed. Pumpkin seed in there as well, and then I add in some chai seed, so that's all going in the breakfast as well. And then I have some almond butter mixed in there, used a bit of honey for the sweetness, some nutmeg, a bit of whole, a bit of wheat germ and stuff like that. So this is a stacked breakfast, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And usually when I make this, it lasts me for a few days, and then I make it again and whatnot, but that's my set breakfast.
So what sort of consistency is it? Is it like a paste
I know. You can make it whatever consistency you want, because you could just add in more milk or whatever.
Right.
Stuff like that. I don't really like it super thick and super, because it gets real real kind of jelly, you know what I mean, with all the stuff in it. Especially with the chai seeds, they get kind of, you know, gloopy. So the more milk you add in there, the better it is. Obviously, it depends on what milk I have at the time. It could be oat, could be whatever else, almond or cashew nut, hemp seed milk. You know what I'm saying? But so
sounds lovely.
Yeah. So add that in. Obviously, stack of fruits. You can. I never stop eating fruits. And that'd be the breakfast sorted. And then dinner time and stuff like that would just be load of nuts and seeds, loads of legumes, you know, beans and all that. And then that's the thing. That's the key as well. If you're going to be switching to plant-based, is variety is the key. You see, in anything you eat, like your fruit, veg, have a variety of things. And you get loads of different things from, like, even different colored fruits have different minerals, vegetables, and vitamins and stuff like that. So I think that's where people usually fault that they'll only have vegetables or something. You can't just live slowly on that. You need other things, you know what I mean? You're gonna need beans and seeds and all that kind of stuff. So sorry for the rant there, but hopefully that answered your question.
No, interesting. Do you take any supplements with that as well?
I do not take a single supplement, right? That's what I'm saying. My food is my supplement, you know what I'm saying? I don't believe in the whole supplement culture, you know what I mean? Everything you can get in a supplement, you can only get it better in the food source, you know what I'm saying? And I don't take any supplements, nah.
And as a fighter as well, it must be safer as well to just not touch any supplements, because the amount of tainted supplements that people get, you know, tucked up by, just makes me wonder how worth it they are.
Yeah, that's the thing. And, like, people will just try to take the next best thing, you know what I'm saying? And that's not always the best thing, do you get me?
Yeah.
But, I've always said to people, because usually the first question people ask you, like, where'd you get your protein from? You know what I mean? And any knowledgeable person will know that you do not need to be taking loads of protein powder to be getting your protein. You know what I mean? You've never heard of anybody being protein deficient. Everything has protein. You know what I mean? All foods have protein. You obviously have foods that have a higher source of protein, but nobody needs an excess amount of protein. Your body can only absorb so much anyway. But sorry for another rant there.
But do you avoid all the meat replacements as well? Because presumably they've kind of got all kinds of additives and stuff in them to make them kind of taste like sausages and things like that.
No, but to be honest, I try them every now and then, you know what I'm saying? Like, because like I said, I'm only doing this for health benefits. It's been a few years now, I'm getting used to it, but anytime something kind of like that comes out, I like to try it and see what it's about. Like, for example, I went to Burger King and tried the Burger King Whopper thing there.
No way. How is
it? I did, right? Because I'm totally against, like, Burger King, McDonald's and all that. But I was like, right, I'll try it, right? My friend took me there. I was like, I'm not going to be rude, right? I'll try this burger. Burger was delicious, but at the same time, it didn't feel right. You know what I mean? Yeah. It felt good in my mouth and stuff. It went down pretty good, but I don't know. My stomach wasn't right and stuff after it, so I definitely wouldn't eat it again. It was an enjoyable experience, but at the same time, wherever there is like a source of like you know, fake meat, you can get something that tastes like meat, but it isn't. I would definitely like go for that sometimes, because I still like meat. The smell of meat still, yeah. You know, I still remember what meat tastes like. It's not like a weird thing, but I just, health wise, I just like would stay away from it. So any kind of meat substitutes, I'm not like super mad and pushed on them, but every now and then, you know, it's not too crazy. You know,
I feel like, yeah, those kind of things, like the vegan Whopper, they're more for people who have done it for kind of like the reasons of loving animals. And like they still really, really love meat and probably even junk food. They're not even doing it for the health benefit. So, yeah, it's good to have those options out there. But I guess for you, like you're eating clean all the time, that is going to feel a bit weird afterwards, whether it's a normal burger or a corn burger.
It did. It definitely did. But at the same time, like I said, they are, like, people are bringing out loads of good options and stuff for vegans. Like, the whole thing, since I started, and anyway, the whole thing is getting, I'd say easier for people to get substitutes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm
one of them people that always read the labels and see what's going on. And, you know what I mean? I like to see what I'm eating. So I definitely would weed out the ones that have all the crazy ingredients and stuff like that, and stay with more simple ingredients. Yeah, if you know what I'm saying.
Thank you for answering all my questions on those. You're the first vegan fighter that I've spoken to, and I'm absolutely fascinated by the nutrition side of it. And I listen to all those Joe Rogan podcasts and watch Game Changers and all of that. What did you think?
I still have to see that, actually. People keep recommending me to that, and I haven't seen it yet, but that's definitely on the list. And I keep forgetting to watch it anytime I get home, but Game Changers, might watch it tonight. You never know.
You've got to watch that, and then you've got to watch the debunking podcast on Joe Rogan, and then you've got to watch when James Wilkes comes back and argues against the debunking.
Okay, it's, cool.
It's not watching, but it's worth it.
Will do. Oh, well, when I'm not napping, I'll be watching them, yeah?
Nice one. So let's go back to the fight, because Ricky's obviously, he's got a high finish rate, like 70%, I think it is at the moment. He obviously presents some dangers. How do you see the fight going?
Like, I'm going to this fight with like ultimate vigilance, you know what I'm saying? Because people are like, Francis doesn't, like, I heard somebody saying that the last two guys I fought are better than Ricky, you know what I'm saying? And he doesn't present as many dangers as a lot of other guys do. But at the same time, like you said, his finish rate is high. And, you know what I mean? He beat James, who's a top fighter. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So just them little points alone, I'm going in this very vigilant, knowing that this guy is a tough, very dangerous fighter. But I feel like I have similar accolades, and I'm going to bring that into the fight as well. Like, I'm less and less I'm pushed on like saying, oh, I just want to stay on the feet and strike and stuff like that. I'm working on everything, all parts of my game. So I'm comfortable wherever it goes. You know what I'm saying? So I'm looking forward to this fight. I think it's going to be a stand-up one, but at the same time, you never know.
Yeah,
Like, I thought the last one was going to be fully stand-up, and it wasn't. You know what I mean? You can never tell what's going to happen to a fight. So I like to adapt to my opponent in the fight. And that's what I'm going to do, yeah.
And these Bellator cards in Dublin always sell out, and the atmosphere sounds amazing. This will be the first one I'm ever there for, so I'm buzzing for it. But tell me what it's like walking out in front of all those fans in Ireland. What does that mean to you?
Like you said, you have never even been to Dublin, and you already know, what it is. Like, these people, like, blow the roof off the place, you know what I'm saying? And it's amazing. Like, I feel super lucky in any ways to have the Irish fans as my home fans, you know what I'm saying? And they support you, you just have to be there to experience it yourself, and obviously you are. So we'll catch up again after, and then you'll tell me how that was for you.
I'd love to, because I am so buzzing. Obviously, the Irish MMA fans are renowned throughout the world for being the loudest and, you know, like, providing the best environment and getting behind their fighters the most. So, I feel super lucky that I'm going to be there to experience it. But it just must be another level when it's you that they're cheering for.
No, it really is. It really is. Because even watching back, watching the fight, my last fight there, any time I did anything, you know what I mean, you could hear them. And in the fight, that gives you a boost. You know what I mean? That makes you want to perform to the highest level. And I'm looking to do that again come February 22nd.
Does it put any additional pressure on you?
I don't think so, no. It's better, you know what I'm saying? I don't know, I don't think... I suppose, like, you don't want to lose in front of your fans, you know what I mean? You don't want to lose at home, so it's not so much pressure, but I don't know what to call it. Pressure in a positive way, maybe.
Yeah. You know what I'm
saying? It's you want to perform good, you want to put in the show for these people that came here to watch you fight. You know what I mean? So that's what it is, yeah.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for your time. Like I said, I'm absolutely buzzing for this card. I think this is just a fantastic addition to the card. It's just, it's one of the, when I talk to anybody who knows MMA, they're most excited for this fight. So I just think it's going to be pure fireworks. And
it's going to be awesome. That's what surprises me so much, that it's a prelim fight, because that does make no sense to me why they'd put it as a prelim, but that's...
So I heard that they were not set in stone yet, and they're going to be, there was the potential for the fight order to be switched around.
Oh, well, I didn't hear that part. Okay.
That definitely came out before your fight was announced, but there were some strange ones, because I think, there was definitely some other fights that looked like they were in a strange order. So.
Oh, right. So the whole thing still has to be set up, is it? Is that what you're telling me?
I believe so. I can't remember whether that was an official comment or something I heard.
Well, hopefully it is. Thanks for that information. That brings a bit of light to the situation. Nice one for that. Appreciate it.
Well, I hope it is on the main card. It certainly deserves to be. But, like, the great thing about Bellator Dublin is there's bums on seats from the very beginning. So...
That's it.
Wherever you are in the card, you're going to get an amazing reception. And I just wish you all the best for the rest of camp and best of skill for the fight.
Thank you so much. This was a thank you for the interview. It was good one.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone, for watching and tune in. If you can't get to Bellator Dublin, then I'm sure it'll be on the app, Channel 5, loads of other channels as well. So. When we know the fight order, we'll be able to tell people where to watch you.
So, you know, on the old Instagram, the Facebook and all that. But usually I would use Instagram mostly. My social media game is weak at best. So, but just follow me anyway. And you'll get to see some fun stuff there on that there, yeah.
I think the last thing you posted was the fight poster.
Yeah, I was, yeah. No, but, like, I don't know, what else do you...
You've got to put those sweaty pictures at the end of training so people can see how hard you've worked.
Yeah, well, I tried to post better stuff there, but, you know... my girlfriend's pushing me to do it more and more often, so whatever I can get, I throw on there, but...
She's super hot, so she probably thinks, like, get some of me on there.
yeah. True. No, thank you. Appreciate that one.
Well, I will hopefully catch up with you in Dublin, and I wish you all the best. Thank you so much, Rans.
Thank you. I'll see you again.
Thank you.
All right.